Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Ray Kaplan, the attorney at law, is in our studio. Hi, Ray. Welcome to the show.
Hi, John. Thank you for having me.
Do you have a Tesla? Do you care to comment on any of this?
No, but my friends who have Teslas love them. So yeah. I think, you know, if I were going to get a new car, probably that would be the one.
I guess. I have concerns, like, if it breaks down, where do I take it, and what's the battery life? Although we had a Prius, and that thing went forever, and
yeah.
It's still going. So
I've heard good things. I've heard also that they're very technologically updated, and so that might be kind of fun, too.
Ray Kaplan is, what's the name of your law firm again, Ray?
Kaplan Law Firm.
No kidding.
Yes.
And what's the phone number if folks want to reach out to you?
312-294-8989. And you actually had a really good little device to remember that name or that phone number.
Oh, yeah, 312 for Chicago, 294 Tri-State Tollway. 89 was Mike Ditka's phone number. So if you can't remember
Jersey.
The phone number, I said phone number? Jersey. So all you need to do is think for her phone number, think Mike Ditka on the Tri-State Tollway driving around Chicago.
Exactly.
312 on 294-8989, the Jersey number, the guy driving him. This is not a commercial for you, but I know that after we visit with you, a lot of people say, wait, I wanted to ask her a question. There was a thread on Reddit that said that, and you are an expert in student loans.
Yes.
And how to minimize your payments. We're not asking anybody to declare bankruptcy. We're saying, you're saying that there are laws and regulations about student loan payments people don't realize.
That's true. This is the key. There is plenty of money out there for parents and for student borrowers where they can completely finance their educations and have to pay back minimally or maybe a quarter of what they actually borrowed. The key is understanding the statute that applies. I always compare it to, you know, when you have to go pay your taxes, there's a statute that applies to everybody. That's the Internal Revenue Code. It's the same exact thing here, but people think of it differently because it's a loan. It's not like what you owe in taxes, but it's the same principle. So there's a statute that applies, and the key is understanding how the law works so that you can finance your kids' education.
If you have a you should borrow your money from a public entity. Is that correct?
From the Department of Education. So everything that you borrow for your kids' education as parent borrowers should be from federal Parent PLUS loans. Those come from the Department of Education. And student borrowers should borrow as much as they can for their undergrad degrees from the Department of Education as well. And then as a last choice, I would say private lenders. But you can stay away from private lenders almost altogether.
And the reason you want to borrow from the government is why?
Because the flexibility that the statute provides allows you to not make any payments while the kids are in school. People always ask me, well, but won't interest accrue? Yes, but do we care? No, because you're not going to have to pay it back anyway.
Why?
Because that's the way the statute will apply. In 95% of the cases, you won't have to pay all of that interest that accrues. Most of it will be forgiven.
Why? What's the rule on that? What happens?
Well, so what happens is, so let's say you have a student and you as the parent need to take out federal Parent PLUS loans. You don't have to pay them the whole time the kids are in school. And then most of the time when you go to pay those loans back, you're close to retirement age. You have to pay back 20% of your gross disposable income, which usually turns out to be very little, and sometimes it's retirement income, and very often our clients have payments that are as low as a couple hundred dollars a month for 10 years or 15 or 20 years, and the balance of hundreds of thousands of dollars is forgiven. That's the operation of the statute.
If I'm 45, though, my kid's 20, they go to school, they get out at 24, now I'm 49.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not anywhere near retirement in my book, so I'm going to, we got to start paying on that loan. The kid has graduated now, and I may be 50 years old.
Right.
So do I have, is there any forgiveness for me here?
Yes. And all of that depends also on your particular situation. But most of the time, there is forgiveness, even if you're just employed in the private sector. There's public sector loan forgiveness for a ton of loans after 120 payments. But it depending on your situation, we still can get you a very low monthly payment. The key is that for federal Parent PLUS loans, the parent making the least amount of money should take out the loans. And I know that that's kind of counterintuitive. That's the mistake I see a lot of people make.
Don't borrow the money in the student's name?
The student for undergrad is going to be capped at a certain amount, and that's where that whole FAFSA form comes in, which is a huge pain. Just be honest on the FAFSA because there's no getting around it. And the college is going to take into consideration something called an estimated rate of contribution to try to determine what the parents will be paying towards their kids' education. So there's going to be a cap on what your student borrower can take out for their federal loans, but it doesn't matter because whatever isn't covered, the parent can take out for federal Parent PLUS loans. You don't have to make any payments while the kid's in school. And then after they graduate, there's a six-month deferment, and then we can also consolidate them, get them all under one roof, get you another 3 years of forbearance or deferment, and then start making very low monthly payments till the balance is forgiven.
Okay, so student, yeah, but then the parent divorced or married who makes the least amount of money, take the loan out in their name.
Right.
Okay, I got another question about that. You may too. 312-981-7200. Call or text 312-981-7200. You have a question about borrowing or paying back those loans? This is the time to call WGN. Attorney Ray Kaplan, all our phone lines are ringing. I'm not surprised. People have so many questions about how to borrow money for college and how to pay off loans. That's your bailiwick. That's what you do, right?
Right.
And so you were saying just before the break that if you are parents borrowing for your kid for college, and you should from the federal government,
yes,
borrow it in the name of the person who makes the least amount of money. Does it matter if we're married or divorced?
No, it doesn't matter.
As long as you're the parent. And what if one of them works and the other one doesn't work at all?
Then the person who's not working is the one that should take out the loans.
Okay, so I could have a six-figure income. My spouse could have marginal income.
Right.
And my income won't count in the calculation of the payment back.
Correct.
And if it's a public loan, you said, then you don't pay interest until after they graduate. You can defer that for 6 months before you begin paying.
And then we can defer that even for another 3 years.
But say I want to pay off the loan. I want to get done with this thing.
Well, I can think of a lot of different things you could do with your money that would work for you instead of paying off a federal loan. And remember, the statute operates in a way so that people can borrow money to finance their kids' educations, but not make you impoverished while you're doing it. So their benefit is there. You might as well take advantage of it.
Fair enough. I mean, you didn't make the laws or rules. They're just there for the people, and too often we don't know about them. But
most people overpay. Most people overpay on their loans.
That's amazing to me because conceptually, if I've borrowed money, to me, Ray, I need to pay the money back. The laws are written so that they're not going to charge you the full freight for what you borrowed.
Yes, most of the time.
Imagine that. If you didn't know that, now you do. And then I have this question for you.
But the servicers don't tell you.
Well, I can imagine why they would not. But
right.
Okay, but isn't there also some calculation then of how much I'm going to have to pay back? Isn't it based on what my disposable income is or
yes.
something like that?
Yes.
And is that for everybody or is that just for certain people?
It's for everybody.
That borrows from the federal government?
From the federal government. That's an option for everybody.
And and what is the percentage of your...
So if you have Parent PLUS loans, the percentage is going to be, they're going to take your adjusted gross income minus 120% of the poverty index for a family of your size and the state in which you reside. They're going to say that number is your disposable income. They'll take 20% of that number, and then they'll divide it by 12. That's the formula that they will apply to you. The key is knowing how not to over-submit income. People submit all kinds of income that is not supposed to be submitted, and then the Department of Ed or the servicer comes up with a payment that's way too high.
Let's talk to Rich on line 3. You're on WGN. Rich, jump in there. What can we do for you today?
Hi, John. Intriguing subject, and I've been paying on my daughter's college education now for the last 13 years through Oklahoma. I think it's OSLA, Oklahoma Student Loan, something along those lines.
Yeah.
And we've got about $7,500 left at about 5-7% interest. I'm in the car, so I don't have all the figures handy.
That sounds about right. 7%, right?
Okay. We've paid down some of it and just said, okay, we'll bite the bullet. And we paid off several thousand a couple of years ago, and I was just intrigued by some of what you were saying and looking for some advice.
So you said the balance is how much, about $7,500?
Yes.
Okay, so you are eligible. I don't know if you probably have federal Parent PLUS loans. I don't know what type of payment plan you're in, but you are going to be eligible for an income contingent repayment plan. And were you the borrower or your spouse?
I'm self-employed and make a lot less money than my spouse.
Okay. Is your monthly payment on the high side?
No, right now it's about $150 a month.
Okay, that sounds about right. I'm not sure if we can get your payment any lower than that, but it would depend on what your projected monthly income is going to be from your self-employment. But it sounds like your monthly payment is under control. And what you can do is, if you like, you can give us a call and we can go over with you how the statute works so you can see how much you'll end up paying if you're in different payment plans, et cetera. And then you can choose which one makes the most sense for you.
Thanks for the call. I'll give the number in a second. But if people are on Social Security,
right,
what happens to them?
So Social Security is income that is not to be submitted. The Department of Ed is not to take that into consideration for purposes of calculating your payment. So if you're just on Social Security, your payment's going to be $0 a month. If you're retired and that's your income, $0 a month until the balance is forgiven.
If Social Security is your sole source of income, then you don't not have, you can stop paying your loans.
Yes. You have to make sure you're on the right type of plan. Because you have to be on an income-based payment plan for that to be operative. But as long as you're on an income-based payment plan and you're on Social Security, $0 a month, even if you owe $100,000 until the balance is forgiven.
224, hi, I have a $40,000 loan for school under my name. I'm 22. The interest is 5.05%. What do you recommend me doing? Paying it all off at once?
No, definitely not. I would take a look to see, and depending on whether or not you're in the public sector or private sector, but an income-based payment plan, because for you as the student borrower, that calculation is going to be 10% of your gross disposable income until the balance is forgiven.
And gross disposable is not what you and I think is disposable. It's a pretty generous for us calculation.
Yes, it is.
So the government says, here's what your disposable income is, and the number might surprise you how low it is, and
right,
it's a percentage of that.
Mm-hmm.
John, my kids are currently enrolled. They already have loans under their name. Did I miss the boat? Should I have had their loans under my name, or is there a statute where we will not need to pay off the full loans? The kids won't, in other words?
No. So the student borrowers, again, the statute's very favorable to them. It's going to be 10% of their gross disposable income till the balance is forgiven. And if they're in the public sector, they only have to pay for 120 months and then the balance is wiped out. If you don't have any loans, that's great. That's great news. But I'm just saying, if for the people who had to take out Federal Parent Plus loans because the student borrower couldn't get as much, then there's a really good, the statute is fantastic.
I have pages of texts that have come in.
Right.
We're out of time. The phone number to reach Ray Kaplan is 312-294-8989 or financialrelief.com.
Right.
That's your website. By the way, you've been generous to my campaign for the Salvation Army this year.
Yes, happy to do so.
Okay, so here's what we do. If you go to WGNradio.com on the John Williams page, there's a picture of me ringing a Salvation Army bell. I have a virtual kettle trying to get $35,000 in there. And we're going to do a little mini radiothon later this month. And you have agreed to do a match. If somebody makes a donation, you will make a donation too. Is that right?
Correct.
Up to, I think it was $1 million or something like that.
Was it that high?
I don't think it was that high.
I don't even remember. Too many zeros there. Not a mathematician.
You're going to make a $1,000 donation to the Salvation Army if our listeners make $1,000 in donations to the Salvation Army during our radiothon, correct?
Correct.
I really appreciate that.
Absolutely.
Thank you for doing that. And Rake is a regular guest on my show in the afternoons. Now that we're here in the mornings, we'll invite her back again to answer a lot of your questions, because I know a lot of you have them. And sometimes she reaches back out to you if you text in.
We do.
312-294-8989. She or her office will get back to you and answer your questions to the best of their ability. So don't feel like you've completely missed the boat. Again, the Radiothon is going to be the second or third week of December. I'm not even exactly sure if we've picked the date. But we'll announce that date. We'll invite people to call in, and you'll be one of the matching sponsors for the John Williams Virtual Kettle.
Sounds great. Are you going to be out there with the bell, ringing the bell?
Say that again?
Are you going to be out there ringing the bell?
I don't know that we're ringing the bell this year. We did last year, and it was so cold, we lost our enthusiasm for that. But we're doing the virtual kettle, where we stay inside and people go online. So I think I'm going to do that. If the station is ringing the bell, I'll go out there again. Thing is, you make such an effort ringing the bell, and people don't put that much money in there.
They just walk right by you.
312-294-8989, the number to reach our friend Ray Kaplan. Thanks, Ray.
Thank you.